Everybody has different parshiyos that speak to them more, that they feel more connected to, perhaps more fascinated by. So certainly the entire Torah is something. I'm not trying to say that this is more fascinating, less fascinating. Every piece of Torah is something that has a message, that has something that a person can connect to. But there's certainly something truly fascinating about these parshiyos towards the beginning of Sefer Devarim, in the sense that this is Moshe Rabbeinu laying out a vision for a community, a vision of how people police themselves, of how we set up a society, of how we establish a civilization. And that's true not just as far as how many dayanim, how many judges there should be for what amount of people. It's not just true as far as who goes to war, who doesn't go to war, but so much of the messages behind the setting up of those societies and civilizations are something that are meaningful and something that are very contemporary, something that still has, like the rest of the Torah, an eternal ability to mold and shape our Hashkafas HaChayim. For instance, just to mention, at the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, it says, Shoftim b'shoftim k'tin l'cha b'cho sherecha, etc. So you should place for yourselves judges and shotrim. Shotrim, I guess, are best defined. I would just find a shoter in English.
Officer.
A police officer. So it doesn't exactly mean police officer here. I mean, obviously, police are mishtara. It means, you know, whatever you call the strong arm of the law, the people that are giving out the punishments, the people that are giving out the makos. So the Medrash Rabbah, at the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, says that the shoter has to be like the shofate. The person who is the policeman, the doler outer of the makos, whatever you want to call it, that person has to be like the shofate. So the Meforshim discuss in the Medrash, what does that mean? What does it mean that the shoter has to be like the shofate? So the Maharavaz is one of the Pirushim on the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Eichenstein. So he says the following. So what it means is that just like the shofate has to be a chacham the tzaddik, just like the shofate has to be a person, he's a wise person, he's a righteous person, so to the mishtara, they also have to be chachamim the tzaddikim. I don't mean to be miyachis to all the various issues going on in the United States and the world, but the police also, they have to be chachamim the tzaddikim. And the Maharavaz comments that the reason for that is not just perhaps will be obvious to you and I. If we're going to give someone the leeway of giving another person makos, we have to make sure for their sake that they're people of the finest caliber. We have to make sure the people who the giving out of the makos is not going to affect their sense of Darchei Noam. That's only true mitzad the person who's giving out the makos, mitzad the shoter himself. The Maharavaz said even more than that, that the person who is receiving the makos, the person who is receiving the punishment from the shoterim, they're only going to receive it, and they're only going to grow from it, and they're only going to be mekabel it if it's coming from a person who they know is connected with them and cares about them, and chachamim tzaddikim. I mean, just to give out a punishment, you know, a parent comes to a kid and whacks the kid. You know, it doesn't mean anything if the kid doesn't know that the parents are coming connected warmly with a sense of a sort of tzidkus about them. This punishment doesn't work. So that's one of the sort of the many messages that we see that setting up a society, that whoever it is that's going to be actually doing the punishing and the running of the jails and all those things, they also have to be chacham tzaddikim, or else the whole sort of process of setting a punishment becomes ineffective. And that's certainly something that we've seen in our day in this country. You know, in this country we've seen that just putting a person in jail and being sort of, you know, bossed around by the you know, people in the jail, it doesn't effectuate change, and that's something already that we're sensitive to. So on that note, as far as some of the deeper ideas of setting up a society, I want to speak for a few minutes about the very famous parsha that occurs at the end of Parsha Shoftim. What's the last topic that appears in Parsha Shoftim? Egla Rufa, of course. Egla Rufa. People, even if you don't have a chumash in front of them, I'm sure everyone is just aware of sort of a lot of the details. Egla Rufa, the Tikkun HaYir, they come out to the place in which the body is found. They bring out the egla, the egla is killed. But read the Dikne Ha'ir, he has the egla, Nachal Eitan, Asher Lo Yehabado, Velo Yizareya. Of course, there's a lot of discussion in Meforshim. You know, why does it have to be a place, Dafka, that's never been worked before? It's not a place that can produce produce. Yarfu Shom is Ha'egla, Benachal, Benikshu HaKohani, Bnei Levi, Kivon Bachar, Hashem Okecha, L'Sharzo, L'Varech, B'Shem Hashem, Yapiyem Yeh, Kariv, V'Chonaga. So we bring forward the Kohanim, the Bnei Levi. That's a question that's posed here, among other places also. Why say Kohanim, Bnei Levi? Why have to give this whole sort of address over here? Kivon Bachar, Hashem Okecha, L'Sharzo. The Kohanim were the ones who were chosen to administer and to bless the people, etc. The Chozikni Ha'ir Ha'hi Ha'krovim El Ha'chalal Yerchotu Es Yideihim Al Ha'egla Ha'arufa B'Nachal. Imagine, by the way, this imagery of the Kohanim and the leaders sort of coming out and washing their hands over the scene. It's a very poignant, it's a very sort of enticing image of the leaders coming out, you know, washing their hands. V'anu v'amru. Where else do we have this language of v'anu v'amru, or a very similar lashon? What's that? Mitzar Mora by Bikurim, Vanisa v'amarta. V'anu v'amru is some, it's like a declaration. It's not just they say, but there's something very, you know, they project, they say in this very dramatic type of way. So yadeinu lo shafchu. And just to point out, which is always, again, something to think about, there's a kriuk ziv. It's written shavcha. It's pronounced shavchu. V'neinu lo shavchu et sadam hazev, v'neinu lo ra'u. And our eyes never saw. Kaper la'amcha Yisrael asher padisa Hashem, v'al titen damnaki b'ker v'amcha Yisrael. Please let this be an atonement for the entire nation. I mean, we didn't do it. It's not our fault. We are blameless in this act. Therefore, this must be the larger responsibility of the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, kaper na. Please let this entire process of the Egla Rufa be an atonement for the nation. We ourselves, the Chachamim, the Gedolim, the Kohanim, we're sort of free of blame. Let this be a kapara for the nation of Israel. Bnei chaper la madam, b'yata tever hadam hanakim mikirbecha ki taseh hayashar b'nei Hashem. Let us sort of cleanse the innocent blood. Now, there's a lot of discussion in Meforshim. This is a parsha that requires to say tzar chiyun would be an understatement. Right? This entire procedure of coming out, the zakenim coming out, the kohanim coming out, bringing the egla rufa, the statements of yadeinu lo shafku and yadeinu lo ra'u, let this be a kapara for the nation. You know, what exactly is sort of some of the underpinnings of what's happening in this parsha of Egla Rufa? What exactly is the need for this procedure, this very public procedure, the statements of Kapara, the Egla Rufa? It's something that is just, it's like a mystery wrapped within a mystery of what exactly the Torah is trying to sort of project or trying to integrate as far as what's happening over here. Okay. Does anybody know of any of the Rishonim who discussed this? It's not even described so clearly by a lot of the mainstream Rishonim. The Rambam, Kedarka B'Kodesh, gives a fascinating, answer, explanation in the Mor Nevuchim. It's in Chelek Gimel, I think Perek Mem, if I'm not mistaken. And the Rambam said that this entire procedure of the Kohanim coming out, the Zakenim coming out, the Egla Rufa, all of this is a way of sort of bringing out who the real killer is. If you make a big deal about it, and you make a big procedure, and everyone's talking about it, then it gets on the cover of the newspapers, and people are, you know, tweeting out pictures of the Gedolim who are out, you know, in this field doing this procedure. People are going to talk about it. It's not going to sort of fall away from public consciousness, and eventually that's going to be the way of almost, you know, smoking out whoever the real killer might be. And that's part of the reason, parenthetically, that some Meforshim give as to why this field can never be used again. Because if you own this field and you're the owner, and now there's like sort of this like yellow tape surrounding your field for the rest of eternity until you find the killer, so you're going to make sure that doesn't sort of go to rest, doesn't go to bed. People are keeping talking about it. This is a way of making sure that whoever the real Rotzeach was is going to be brought out. Anybody have an issue with that? Anybody sort of look at the psukim themselves and feel that's maybe not exactly what's going on?
Who says that they can stop in the middle of the process if someone just comes out and says that I did it? There's no indication that...
Right. That'd be sort of a fascinating test case for the Rambam. You know, let's say in the middle, someone came out and said, no, it was me. You know, would they still have to do this, still go through the process? You know, if you would say that the answer is no, so it seems like it's more than just finding out who that killer is. Absolutely. The whole idea of the Chaper Nov, you know, saying that this is an atonement for the nation doesn't really sound like that the point is finding out who the killer is, right? I mean, it's not that there's more than what's going on. If you go through almost pasuk by pasuk, it's not that there's a lot more than what's going on than simply trying to find out who the Rotseach might be. And the Barbanel and others really take the Rambam to task of saying, is that really what you think what's going on in these sukkim, of trying to ascertain who the Rotseach is? So the Barbanel gives his own shot. The Barbanel said, and it's probably something which is definitely true in our own psychological experience, the reality of the world, is that so too often, you know, there's a tragedy, and I'm just sort of paraphrasing the Barbanel, too often there's a tragedy, somebody is killed, somebody has been slain, something happens, there was just, I think, in the five towns, a girl who grew up, and from girl just died of a heroin overdose, and people talk about it, people are up in arms about it, but then, you know, just a day later, a week later, whatever the shelf life is, you know, psychologically, then it just sort of something that people move on from. So Barbanel said that human life also is that way. You know, human life can also become cheapened. So therefore, this entire process of everyone coming out, and the Zakenim, and the Kohanim, and speaking about Kapara for the nation, and speaking about, you know, it's not, you know, we didn't do it, but you know, we want to investigate our own deeds, and V'anu V'amru, and, you know, in this very sort of loud type of way. I mean, all of this is a way of creating a sensitivity towards human life, a recognition of the significance of human life, and that's why this process is done in this very sort of dramatic type of way, so that someone doesn't just die and sort of like the world, you know, almost like moves on. That was a pshat of the Barbanel, okay? But obviously, if you go through the Gemaras on this, both in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, they really focus on the pasuk that we read before, which is Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Zayin, or pasuk Vav, excuse me, and they give almost like a different slant a little bit to sort of the entire parsha of Egla Rufa. The pasuk says, V'anu V'amru, they declare loudly, Yodeinu Lo Shafku, our hands didn't, are not responsible for the killing, as Adam Hazeh, Beinenu Lo Ra'u, and our eyes never saw. Now, the obvious question on that, the Chacham, they stand up and they say, we didn't do it, we didn't kill this person, we didn't see it happen. So the obvious question that's raised by Rashi and Meforshim and the Gemara is what? But then, what's the Havmin? You know, somebody dies in the Lower East Side, Chas V'Shalom, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is alive and well in 1976. Does Rav Moshe have to come out and say, okay, it wasn't me, my father's me, it wasn't me? I mean, it's just, you know, it's really just almost ludicrous, the suggestion that this kingdom have to come out and make this declaration. So what the Yerushalmi says, and again, this is sort of a very contemporary message, is that it says that Yodeinu lo shafku, Einenu lo ra'u, it means that we didn't know that we had a person like this in our midst, and we did nothing about it. Right? If we had known that there was somebody in our community who had violent tendencies, and if we knew there was someone in our community who had committed a crime before, we would have, you know, we would have punished the person, we would have made sure the person didn't do it again. You know, we as the leaders of the community, you know, we never knew that such and such a person could possibly even exist in our midst, and that's what it means of Yodeinu lo shafku. I mean, obviously we didn't kill him ourselves, but we didn't even know that such a person even existed. Yodeinu lo ra'u, we didn't sort of see sort of these things go on, and that's sort of the statement of Chachamim. And again, not to be comment too much on current events, but certainly, I guess maybe sort of coming from the perspective also being like a rabbi of a shul, a rabbi in a community, you know, there's a huge responsibility. If let's say there's a principal of a school, a rabbi in a community, leaders of the community, you know that there was someone there who was involved perhaps in any way of of an abuse of a child, and just to sort of, you know, in some way not confront it or not deal with it or sort of close your eyes and just, you know, hope problems go away, you know, clearly what Yerushalmi is saying here is that the entire process, Egla Rufa, or the Chacham getting up and saying, no, ultimately it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't have people in our midst who might be in any way predatory, might be in any way dangerous. And that's exactly what Shalmi said, is this sort of the confession of the Gedolim, of the Zakenu, saying that we literally, we did not know that such a person existed in our midst. But the Babli says something different. Anybody know what the Babli says? Again, the Babli tries to answer the question of why do the Chachamim feel the need to say that we didn't kill this person? But the Babli answers that question in a way by sort of saying something that also sort of seems, you know, not ludicrous, but sort of so off base what the pasuk actually says.
I mean, it's not walking alone. That's
right. So the Babli says, and if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi quotes the Babli, and Rashi says, again, this pasuk, Zayin, Yudena lo shofchu b'chi alta alev, we've ever thought, shezikne beistin shofchei domnin heim, we would have thought that the zikne beistin were killers, el lo re'inuhu upatrinuhu below mizonos. Right, this person, right, who are we speaking about? Right, the Pashup shot of Rashi, and Rashi's going to the Gemara and Sota, Daf Memeh Mebeis, we didn't see him and pastored him from our city, sort of let him leave the city without food. Who are we talking about? What's that? Presumably we're speaking about the victim, meaning we didn't let this victim, this guy, this John Doe, leave our city, you know, without giving him food, without giving him like a care package at Seder Ladera, give him a hot meal on the way out, ublo levayo, and without escorting him out of the city. And that's what the Kohanim say. And of course, the obvious question is, right, well, if you read that Gemara, like what would you say? Right. So the Pesukim say, the Chachamim come and they say, we didn't kill him. The Gemara says, what does it mean, we didn't kill him? Right. It means that we escorted him out of the city. It means we gave him food before he left. Right. What would you say the question that Gemara is? What's that? It's not the same thing. If I tell you, okay, I didn't kill that person, would anybody think in 1,000 years that means I gave him, you know, a snack before he left? I mean, how do we sort of put two and two together? So the Torah Tmima and others, they say, no, what it means is, sir, is that if, let's say, this person left our town and he was hungry, so then maybe he got into an altercation on the road. He found somebody there who was making a barbecue. He got over to make like a fight or confront him because he was hungry. A whole fight ensued. The guy got killed as a result. Meaning maybe what led to his death is the fact that he was hungry, searching for food, had to steal, confronted a robber, etc. So the Chacham, they come in and say, no, we this morning according to Rosh Mima, we fed him. So if any altercation happened afterwards, you know, it's not necessarily our responsibility. But again, that's definitely not sort of pashup shot. The Malbim said something amazing. The Malbim said, and we'll come back to this Malbim just in a few moments, the Malbim said is that unlike what you all had responded, as Avim said before, is that the feeding of the person, I'll read the Malbim inside, take a look at the Malbim. So, Yadeinu lo shatku perish, shelo hainu grama l'reteh hazeh, we were not the cause of this murderer. Lo ayyadei shelo nosnu mazon l'harotayach, v'ayyadei kein hayem mukhrach l'harog, es nirtach, l'asokas l'achmo, l'mali nafsho ki yoreh. What does it mean? It means that the Chachamim come and they said that we had fed who? Right? We say yadeinu lo shafku, means that we fed the murderer. Right? Whoever this murderer was, so we took care of him. And we fed him, and we made sure that his needs were taken in account for. And it's really an amazing Malbim, because what the Malbim is actually saying is that, you know, the community is responsible even for the guy who might be the lowlife. And if this lowlife, this murderer, was someone who wasn't fed by the community, and he goes off and he now commits a crime out on the road, so in some way that might be the responsibility of the community and the Chachamim and the Zakenim, and they come out and they say, no, we fed this murderer. So therefore, if he went out and committed a crime, it's not our responsibility. Again, the implication being that it would have been their responsibility if they hadn't treated even the lowest member of society in a certain type of way when that person was in the city, and then afterwards as well. So both the Torah Tamimah and the Malbim, they're saying, we said the person. It might have been the victim, right? It might have been the Roseach, but we as a community, you know, we fed this person, and therefore any altercation took place down the road, we don't take responsibility for. But there's an amazing idea by the Maharal. Have you seen the Maharal before in that Gemara and Sota? It's a, if you're into the Maharal, if you're not into the Maharal, so it's one of the, at least to me, one of the most beautiful, meaningful Maharals I've seen, certainly the Maharal and Shas. I'm going to take a few moments to read the Maharal, and please follow along. Listen to this. Below Pachanuhu, below Levayam, Shechol She'ena Malave, Ki'ilu Shotech Damin. If you don't escort a person, that seems to be the implication, you don't escort a person out of the city, it's as though you killed a person. Right? If any of you are having Shabbos gets over this week, so this Maharal, the Gemara should be ringing in your ears, if you don't walk a person out of your house, it's not exactly clear, by the way, there's a discussion in Toskim, you know, how far are those Daladamos? Doesn't mean you have to sort of escort them out of the town. If they come to visit you in Woodmere, you have to sort of, you know, escort them onto the Cross Island. Okay, but either way, you're supposed to escort a person out of your domicile, out of the community. Okay, so Paris then, Kikocha Adam, Hu Yoter, Kasher Hu Tuch Klal B'nei Adam, Sha'az Yesh Lo Kocha Rabin. If a person is part of the Klal, he's part of a Tzibor, so he has a greater koach, right? Because then he's coming from the koach ha-rabbin. He's no longer the individual. He's not the yachid, but he's coming from the context of the rabbin. The kasher ha-adam hu yachidi nifrad, when he's a singular individual, yesh lo koach prati. He only has his own koach, v'az pegayim pogim bo, and when you're just alone by yourself, you're not part of a tzibur, so then you are subject to anything. You're subject to a person coming, into a hurricane, into someone coming to stab you because you're coming as the yachid. And therefore, kasher malavin oso, kasher nifra min habrios, they may nichan oso latseif at sheer mil. You don't just let him go off by himself, but you escort that person out, o mashahu halavaya, or whatever amount you're escorting the person. She'iyat shar lahem hu yos tamidimo, you can't go with him forever because you have to be back in your homes. The Zem Mora, but just even escorting a person out of your home, out of the community, Keino Prati Racha Rabin. You demonstrate that this person who's leaving your home is not just a Prat, he's not just a Yachid, but he's part of the Rabin. And that the Rabin Mishabra may love, and that the Rabin were connected to him. Vaz Yeshal Chibor V'dibuk Lamala Gamkein, Achigam Ha'oyonim Gamashimiz Barach, Mislavim Elov V'derech. You hear this amazing line of Maral? I'll read it again. V'oz yeshlo chibor v'dibuk l'malo gamkein. When the community shows a certain sense of communal connection, and that it's not just sort of a person who's a yachid nifrad, but you're part of the tzibur, therefore, when people are mischaber together, therefore, kashbarach also v'dobuk l'malo gamkein, achigam ha'oyonim, the upper bodies, the celestial bodies, he's not part of society. It's an amazing idea. I mean, if the Yachid can go ahead, if the Rabbin can go ahead, the community can go ahead, and they can escort him out, and they can feed him, so already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates this person in a different way. If the Tzibur is Mitzchaber together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzchaber to the community as well, and that's what it means on servant on a different type of level. Not just that we fed him, and therefore he didn't have to start a fight, but we fed him, we walked him out, we showed that he was part of a tzibur, and as a result, you know, we could have assumed that Kadosh Baruch Hu would have given that protection as well. It's an amazing, amazing idea about that idea of the community. But even more than that, and with this I'll conclude, what does it mean, perhaps another pshat of that Gemara in the Bavli? That we didn't kill him, we didn't see, that means that we fed him, that means that we walked him out. So I think just, and this is what the Maharal is alluding to in a different type of way, another Meforish will allude to in a different type of way, is that the responsibility of the Chachamim, the responsibility of the Zakein, the responsibility of the leadership of the community is to create a certain type of community. It's to create a framework in which people are fed, in which if someone comes into a town, somebody notices his presence. When they leave the town, somebody escorts that person, and his absence is also felt. Somebody needs a meal, so the community also addresses those types of things as well. And the inability or the ignoring of those types of values in a community, it's not just that this specific person was fed and escorted, but it's making a larger statement and a general statement of community leadership. We created a community, we created a tzura in which certain behavior, certain ethics, a certain sense of community responsibility was the norm. Those were the expectations. And therefore, in the context of that community that we established, it's not shayach that one person is going to go ahead and kill another type of person. If you're living in a community of a certain responsibility to each other, where people are sensitive to the needs of each other, it's just not even shayach that we even talk about the idea that person A was going to kill person B. It's not just that the Chachamim say, we fed this person. No, but we created a larger tzibur in which there were certain expectations, you know, of behavior. And therefore, ultimately, the responsibility that's on our shoulders, you know, to some degree, we did fulfill, and we can't assume that we created a moral fabric that would lead to even such a behavior. Where else do we see such a concept? Where do we see such like a paradigm of the ultimate? What's that? So Kol Yisrael Ribbon Zel Zed, that's definitely true. But specifically as far as leadership, we have that, probably in a case that's well known to all of you when you say it, but the very fact that the person is freed from the Ir Miklat once the Kohen Gadol passes away. What does the death of the Kohen Gadol have to do with this guy who killed B'Shogeg now being released from the Ir Miklat? So many of the Rishonim, they say that at the end of the day, it's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol. It's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to daven in a certain type of way. It's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to teach a certain type of way. If the Kohen Gadol was doing, fulfilling his responsibilities properly, it wouldn't be shayach, sort of the trickle-down effect of the Kohen Gadol living in Sholayim to some guy living in Tveria, but it wouldn't be in shayach that if Eretz Yisrael is functioning in a certain type of way based on the top-down leadership of the Kohen Gadol, that person A is going to be so irresponsible that they would kill another person with shogeg. I mean, it's an amazing concept that's the degree in which we hold leadership responsible for the behavior. And that's really the theme throughout Parsha Shoftim. Throughout Parsha Shoftim, and really all of Sefer Devarim, is the sensitivity of the leadership of their behavior setting a certain tone for the community. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. You should pursue righteousness so that you can live, so you can have a properly functioning society. The message is about your miklah. The message is about when you come into another city to wage war in that city, to send out an olive branch of peace. How we destroy or how we treat the trees of the city that you come into. How we choose soldiers, so we don't have such like a cutthroat system. So if a person is a rach leva, if a person is concerned, if a person just got married, the entire parsha is about the community as a whole, the leadership of the community, establishing a certain fabric, establishing a certain tone in the community itself, which has an impact. And that's language I believe that we very much see in our own communities. If you live in certain types of communities and you raise your children in certain types of communities, there's just a certain expectation. There's a certain expectation of how kids speak to parents and how kids speak to adults. There's a certain expectation of how people treat each other in shul. You live in certain types of cities or communities, it's shayach that a kid may come and graffiti the wall of the school building. You live in other places that really starts from the top about certain derech eretz that trickles down to every single sort of stage and every single piece of the community. And those are things that do exist, they're critical, they exist, and when you guys for yourself, when you think about certainly your present, but even futures as well, when you become a parent, you know, what a grandparent does, what a parent does in a very sort of subtle way has a trickle-down effect to every single thing that goes on in a home. What a teacher does, what a principal, what a rav, what a rabbi, anybody. There's a trickle-down effect. Yadeinu lo shavku, yadeinu lo ra'u is that statement. You know, we try to do our part of establishing a certain type of tzibur, and therefore we can sort of go to sleep knowing that whatever homicide took place was not sort of on our shoulders, and therefore the next statement is, you know, kapter enough. You know, atone for this nation, because obviously maybe it wasn't us per se, but the nation as a whole are still people that deserve kapara. The nation as a whole are still imperfect, and therefore please give kapara to them. You know, once again, to me at least, a beautiful message about a civic responsibility, according to the Maharal, the koach of the tzibor, and ultimately the ability of a community, of a nation, of establishing a certain tone that affects and effectuates every single piece of what goes on in that community. Thank you, everyone. Have a Shabbat.
Where was the
Maharal
that you referenced?
Can you just do you mind sending that to me?